we left off yesterday, tried to decide what we're going to talk about today. So either we're going to have a special shiur, or we're going to talk about Bava Basra. So we came up with a pshara, so we'll give a special shiur. But whatever we're going to talk about is going to be relevant to what we spoke about yesterday. So it'll be a kasher shiur, but some of the klalim that we spoke about yesterday will be hopefully employed properly, hopefully, best as we can. So I want to talk about an important topic in terms of Hilchos Kashrus, depending on which community you belong to. For some people it's a very important topic, for other people it's not so important. That's the issue of Chol HaBakam and Chol HaYisrael. So what exactly is the background of Chol HaYisrael? What's the reason for Chol HaYisrael? Why is it that some people are Makbid, not Makbid? What's the whole background? What's the whole basis for this discussion? So it all starts with the Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah in the second parak, that same sugyas where the Mishnah speaks about Bishalakam and Pasakam, those other things. So the Mishnah in second parak of Avodah Zarah tells us that it is prohibited to drink milk that was milked by a non-Jew, unless you have Yisroel or Eyu, unless you have a Jew who's actually watching, is literally supervising the milking process. What could possibly be wrong? So this Isser is in contrast to many of the other Yisroelim that are in that Mishnah. The other Yisroelim of Pasachim and Bishalachim, those are more chastis-oriented. Those are not really kashrus considerations. Those are fears of intermarriage. This one is a very real kashrus issue. What's the kashrus issue? That there's a problem here. There's a potential problem here. Namely, that we have a Mishnah in Maseches Bechoris that tells us, Kol HaYotze Ben HaOser Oser, anything that comes from a non-kosher animal, so is by definition considered to be non-kosher. So let's say you have eggs that are laid from a non-kosher bird. So those eggs are treif min haTorah. If you have milk that came from a non-kosher animal, so that milk is treif min haTorah. How do you know that? Gemara is a whole psukim for that. A whole series of drashas in the beginning of Maseches Bechoros teaches that din. That's Ramash HaDin Min HaTorah. There is an interesting machlekes, an important conceptual machlekes, not so important for us, but it's important conceptual machlekes, between the Rishonim as to what the nature of this Isra of Yeltsim and Asar Asar is. What, when the Torah says you can't eat chazer, and then the Torah says you can't drink milk that came from a chazer. So one could raise the following chakira. What's the nature of the relationship between these two Isurim? Do we say this is an Isra Chodosh? This is an Isra B'fnei Atzmo. There's an Isra to eat chazer meat, and then there's an Isra to drink chazer milk. And it's not the same answer. Two different Yisurim. One is also, and the reason why it's also because it came from a chazer, but drinking chazer milk is not the equivalent of eating chazer meat. The two different Yisurim. Or do we say no, that the nature of the Yisur of Yotze Ben Osir is that the Torah is megala to me that when the Torah asks a chazer, not only did it ask a chazer, but anything that comes from chazer is considered to be like a shtik chazer. That's also called chazer. So if not for the gzeres hakosim, but as a drosha, esler, rabbis, a cholov, whatever the drosha is, if not for that special Zeres HaKosov to be marbe, the Cholov, I would have said only the Basar is Asar. So Kamash Balon, even the Cholov is Bechlal the Yisar, but the Maisa, when the person drinks the Chazer milk, or the person eats the ostrich egg, so that's tantamount to eating the ostrich itself. That's tantamount to eating a piece of the bacon itself. Minaf Kaminim, it's the end of the day, it's also Minotar, who cares? So there's a Machlek, it's Taisin the Rabbah, but Yichayev Malkus. If a person has a cup of Chazer milk, or a person eats an ostrich egg, are you any other non-kosher birth? The reason I keep on saying ostrich, because that's the mocha. The pasuk says, es basayana. So basayana comes the rabos betasayana. Even the egg of the ostrich is also. But it's also for other birds as well. So any other good trait for birds? Oh, eagle, okay. Raven, okay. Any other good football teams, baseball teams? So. Falcons, the eagles, okay. Regular hawks. Okay, good. What's a nesher, by the way? Everyone knows what a nesher is? The what? A nesher is a what?
A griffin vulture.
Right, in contrast to what people used to think it is? People used to think it's an eagle. So how do we know that's not an eagle? Do we have a rye that's not an eagle?
I don't really have eagles in the Middle East.
Okay. that wouldn't in and of itself. What? No, so it's a rye because the Gemara says in Chulin that the nesher doesn't have any of the Simani Tara. There are certain Simani Tara that birds have. The animals and fish, so the Torah explicitly tells us what the Simani Tara are. When it comes to birds, so the Torah just says all birds are kosher, with the exception of the following 24. So if it's not one of these 24, by definition it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara in Chulin, the third Berak, says that even though the Torah doesn't tell us explicitly what the Simani are, there are certain Simani, there are certain characteristics that these birds have. So the Gemara goes and spells out some of the traits of birds have one of the simanim, two of the simanim, three of the simanim, whatever they are. So one of the simanim that the nesher is supposed to have is that it's, the Gemara describes that the nesher's back toe or something doesn't, some birds have in such a way that some of the toes are pointing one way and one is going backwards. So the nesher, the Gemara says, has all of its fingers, all of its toes, whatever it is, pointing in the same direction. It doesn't have that back thing like other birds have. That's the Farish Gemara in Maseches Churin. So everybody knows that an eagle has the, one of the toes being separate and distinct from the other ones. So the Mefarish, how do you know that? What? So Tosis points it out. Tosis points out a chulin. Tosis says that it's a nira lahem that which the Torah says nesher is lav hainu igla. Aleph yud gimel lamed aleph. Because it's not lav hainu igla. Because the eagle shalanu. Tosis writes our eagles don't match up to that description that that's going on. So everybody knows that. So when I was once learning chulin with somebody, so the guy says, "Yeah, Tosis is 100% right." So I said, "Okay. So how do you know Tosis is right?" He said, "It's beferish." It's the back of a dollar bill. That's right. He pulled out a dollar bill. So if you take a look at the dollar, the eagle that's holding the arrows, right? Yeah. So it has one toe pointing in the wrong direction, right? Right. So the Mefarish Tosis, the Mefarish back of a dollar bill. So take a look if you're interested. Tosis knew it without having a dollar bill. Okay. Anyway, get back to the story. Yeah. Honey, it's a Gemara's question. Gemara Chumash asked the Kasha, how can you ever eat any honey? Honey always comes from the bees. So the Gemara gives some kind of answer as to why honey is different. It's unclear exactly what the answer is, but the Gemara gives some kind of an answer why. Okay, good. Getting back to this story. So the Chabad Naf Kamina, if a guy goes out and eats the eagle, whether the eagle is an esher or not, it's still a tray for birds. The guy eats an eagle egg, or a guy eats an ostrich egg, or a guy drinks a cup of chaz milk, a guy drinks a cup of camel milk, is he chayv malchus or not? So Tosfos in Chulin, in the third paragraph, I'm not mistaken, Tosfos assumes for sure that you chayv malchus, because you chayv malchus for eating the eagle, you chayv malchus for eating the egg, you chayv malchus for eating the chazer, you chayv malchus for eating the milk. It's the same isser. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam Mechalos HaSuras writes, no, it's a new isser. The Torah gives us a new isser called Cholav Ayot, Dover Ayot Sabina Osir. And the Torah just teaches us that it's Osir. The Torah doesn't say Yechai Malkus. You only Yechai Malkus if you eat, you ate Chaz, Yechai Malkus. I didn't eat Chaz, or I drank something, which was Yot Sabina Chaz. It's an Isir. The Torah, the Halacha Moshe Messiah is Mechadish, that it's Osir, but it's not called Malkus. Malkus is only what it says Beferish in the Chumash, as the Basar Chazer itself. So it's an interesting conceptual machlokes. There are big nafkaminas ladina, but not for our purposes. Everybody agrees that the milk that comes from a chaz, from a camel, etc., is also in our Torah. So that's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah raises the question: if a goy comes and brings you a cup of milk, he doesn't have any nemonos. Eidach and nembisurin doesn't apply to a goy. So if a goy tells you that this is cow's milk, how do you know? Maybe it's chaz milk. Maybe it's camel milk. So therefore, you can't eat it. That's the reason why the Mishnah says you would not be permitted to drink this milk. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says no. What's the chashash? You can look at it and you can tell the difference. Again, I never saw camel's milk, but the Gemara says that kosher animal's milk and non-kosher animal's milk look different. That means you can really tell the difference between the two. So, in fact, there is a difference in terms of the fat. There's some kind of fat issue. I mean, you can probably figure this out for us at some point. About the Gemara says that kosher milk can turn into cheese, that it's much harder for the non-kosher milk to turn into cheese naturally because the fat content of something is much lower. I don't know. There are some biological differences between camel's milk and chaz milk compared to cow's milk. So whatever those differences, is it true?
Oh, it's richer in fat and protein than cow milk.
What, camel's milk?
Yeah.
Okay, and therefore what?
Camel milk can readily be made into yogurt, but can only be made into butter or cheese with difficulty.
There you have it.
Yogurt made from camel milk is said to have a faint greenish tinge.
That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Yorok. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Where's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah? No, where's the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah about
I think the Mishnah is in Lamed Hei.
Yes, what does it say in the Mishnah? In that Gemara?
That was repeated.
What? You know that, I understand. No, what the greenish tinge is thing. It just said the camel's milk was a greenish tinge?
Yeah.
Right, so that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the cow's milk is Chavir and the other one is Yorok or something. By golly, the Gemara's what does it say? I said, this is, you cannot get better term out than this. This is at its height. Okay, you're working on it. Anyway, okay, so the bottom line is the Gemara says that any guy who knows anything about camel's milk proteins can take a look at this milk and see right away, this is not cow's milk, this is camel's milk. So the Gemara says, what's going to go wrong? So what's the chashash? So the guy will bring you a cup of green milk, so green milk and green eggs and ham, whatever, you'll realize that it's trey for milk. What could possibly go wrong? So the Gemara explains, no, what could go wrong is as follows. That, inochinami, the guy's not going to try to pull over you a cup of camel's milk and tell you that it's cow's milk. And any guy will realize the difference. Any normal person who knows the difference will be able to tell. What we're afraid of is as follows. The guy, he's in a milk business. He's got loads of cows, and he's milking cow milk. And he's trying to sell off cow's milk as cow's milk. But sometimes, he's milking, and what's the cow's name? Bessie. So Bessie has shungarika ready. She already milked enough. There's not enough milk. And now he knows he's got an order to fill. He's got a guy waiting for a milkshake. The guy's standing outside the barn, and he's waiting. The guy can barely fill up a cup. He's got 9/10 of the cup full of milk, so he's going to get all nervous. He has to provide for his customers. He's going to run over to the camel. Who would you call the camel? I don't know.
What?
Sally's a camel?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah? That's so advanced. So he's going to run out of milk from Bessie, and he's going to go fill up. We can put this up on the, I don't know, put it on the Purim shoe. So he's going to run out of milk from Bessie, and he's going to have to go fill up a little mashu from Sally at the end. So then Taki won't be able to tell. It'll be 99%. It'll be cow's milk. It'll have a little bit of the green milk. It's not going to have the greenish tinge to it. So he may really get fooled. So the Jew's going to think he's drinking a kosher milkshake. He's talking about drinking chazan milk. He's drinking camel milk. That's the reason for Chol Yisrael, the Mishnah says. Not that we're afraid he's going to give you a whole cup of treif of milk. That you'll be able to tell very easily. But he may mix in. Shem Ya'ariv by Davar Tomei. That's what the Gemara says in Masechet Avot Zarah. So the poskim assume that even if that's true, let's say that happens now. Let's say that is the worst case scenario. Let's say that really happens, that the Goy Taka mixed 80% kosher milk and 20% treif of milk. So the Shach writes in Yerodeya that that's not really going to be a problem in a Torah anyway. You know why it's not going to be a problem in a Torah? Who knows why? What? Oh, because it's going to be both of Barov. So it's going to be 80-20, it's going to be both of Barov. Now that's a little bit tricky situation, because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin, in Zvachim, in Psachim, a few places, that there was a Machlekes HaTanoim, when you have a mixture, what's called Lach Balach, you have two liquids that get mixed up together, you know, at what point do you say that it's Batla, what point do you say that it's not Batla? So one opinion was, the opinion of the Chachamim, was that it's Batla Barov. That you follow Rove, and as long as you have a majority of kosher to treif, even though it's all mixed together, it's all liquid, it doesn't matter, that would be mutter. Not only the case of milk and milk, let's say it's I'm cooking a pot of chicken soup, kosher chicken soup, cooking my Empire chicken soup, and a little bit of Purdue chicken soup gets mixed in also. So it's alright, it's both the Rove, and it would be okay. That's what the opinion of the Chachamim is. So Rabbi Yehuda happens to disagree with the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda has a very unique sheet. Rabbi Yehuda says that min b'mino ain't a bottle. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you have a mixture of dover lach, two liquids that get mixed together, so then if it's min b'mino, if it's the same type of a thing, it's two kinds of milks, or it's two kinds of chicken soup, but it's basically the same min, it's the same entity. So Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mino ain't a bottle. What's the source for Rabbi Yehuda? How did Rabbi Yehuda know that min b'mino ain't a bottle? Anyone figure that out? How did Rabbi Yehuda figure that out? What am tachir ram lahatos? So Rabbi Yehuda has an unbelievable drasha. B'schirish ha-tayra. We went down from the Avodis Yom HaKippurim. Avodis Yom HaKippurim, what, who, what, where? So there's one Tarevis that takes place in the Avodis Yom HaKippurim. What's the Tarevis? You mix the Damim together. The Torah says that after you finish the Dama Par inside, first you do the Dama Par in the Kedesh HaKadoshim, then you do the Dama Sar in the Kedesh HaKadoshim, then you do the Dama Par in the Parechas, then you do the Dama Sar in the Parechas, then you mix them together and you sprinkle on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. So the Torah says, "V'lakach midama par midama soyer v'nasana chanosim mizbech saviv." So you take the mixture of the dama par and the dama soyer, and you throw it all together. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, "Ezu meruba, which is more? A dama par is much bigger than a dama soyer. A dama par, you have this big fat animal, this bull, this ox, tremendous. That you got a soyer, it's a little baby goat." So comes the Gemara and says that the dama par is going to be 10,000 times more than a dama soyer. And still the Torah says, V'lokach midama par midama soyer. It's still called the dama par and dama soyer. How is it called the dama soyer? It's in the dama soyer, Batel Barov. A kasha in the Rebbe Shalom. Strange kasha. That's Rebbe's kasha. Kasha in the Pasuk Chumash. How can the Torah call it dama par and dama soyer if the Torah itself gives us a din of achiram lahatas? So Zevin Fendor Rebbe that says, Min b'mino ena botel. And that's a din in that Torah. And therefore Rebbe extrapolates from that to your day as well in kashrus. If you have you're cooking a pot of kosher chicken soup and a little drop, about one in a million drops of treif chicken soup comes in, it's min b'mino. It's not in a bottle. I mean, I tell you, you can't eat the whole thing. Yeah, that's really yavish b'yavish. It hasn't been mixed together. I'm talking about if it's all mixed together. Right? If it's lach b'lach, so that's the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Okay. So what would Rabbi Yehuda say about Yavash B'Yavash Mechav into Rabbi Natam and Menachos? Rabbi Natam says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would he deny Bittul Barov? He denies three chatichos, two kosher, one treif. Could anyone deny that? So Rabbi Natam says, it was a special chesed, a kosher, a lach, b'lach. But again, let's get back to the story. So how do we paskin halacha? This machlekes Rabbi Yudin the Chachamim. So most of the Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim. There's one Rashi in one place in Pesachim. Hopefully next year we'll know Pesachim. What do we know for next year? Kol Shor. So there's a Rashi in Kol Shor that talks about this. So there's one day in Rashi that maybe we should follow Rabbi Yehuda, but most of the Rishonim don't accept this. Shulchan Aruch, we don't follow that. So in your day in Siman Tzadiches, the beginning of the first Siman Tzadiches, we paskin that min haTorah min b'mino davalach balach is taka botel b'rov. But even though that's true, that it's bottle of a rov min haTorah, but mid the rabbanon it's not bottle for the following reason: that if it would be, let's say, for argument's sake, a min b'she'eino mino, let's say a little bit of a tray for chicken soup would fall not into a pot of kosher chicken soup, but would rather fall into a pot of potato soup. So that's already two different ta'amim. That's already two different tastes. So that's what's called min b'she'eino mino. And then we have a problem. Then rov isn't sufficient, because we have to reckon with what problem? We have a problem of nesinas ta'am. Since you could discern the taste of the tray for chicken soup, that's a problem. So the only way that we can declare that a little bit of tray for chicken soup that falls into a pot of potato soup is going to be kosher, rov is not enough anymore. You require shishim. If you have 60 times the amount of potato soup to the chicken soup, then we can assume that the taste isn't discernible anymore. Then we assume that the ta'am doesn't exist anymore. So according to many of the Rishonim, we've passed, at least the chumah like that, that's a dim in HaTorah also. So again, so if you have tray for chicken soup into kosher chicken soup, min HaTorah rov is enough. If you have tray for chicken soup into kosher potato soup, then you require shishim min HaTorah. So those are the two dinim deraisa in terms of bitul lach balach. Then with the Rabbanon, the Chachamim instituted, that's the Gemara in Masechet Chulin, the 7th Perek, the Chachamim instituted that people are going to get very confused. Someone's going to come with a shaila, and they're going to come to the rabbi, and the rabbi's going to say, oh, as long as it's rov, it's okay. So the people aren't going to realize, they're going to say, well, the rabbi told us that the chicken soup is batel barov, so next week, when the chicken soup falls into the potato soup, they'll think it's also batel barov, and they won't discern, they won't realize that in one case there's nesinas tam, and another case there's no nesinas tam. So therefore, mid the rabbanon, they made a takana that you always require shishim. Whenever there's a taroivis of lach balach, whenever there's a mixture of tastes, that there's liquids mixing together, cooking together, things are getting mixed together in terms of liquids, so then mid the rabbanon, you always require shishim. So when it's min b'she'en amino, shishim is only required mid the rabbanon. When it's min b'mino, I'm sorry, when it's min b'she'en amino, I'm sorry, shishim is required mid the raisa. When it's min b'mino, it's the same taste, so there's no discernible triforce of taste, then the requirement of shishim is mid rabbanon. That's what the Shach writes in the Siman about Chol of Yisrael. So the Shach writes that even the worst case scenario, let's say the goy really did mix in some of the chazer milk, it's not going to be a rove of chazer milk. If it's a rove of chazer milk, it's going to look green. So the fact that it looks white, it's clearly an overwhelming majority is kosher cow's milk. But since there's a chance that maybe a little chazer milk in it, the chum made a gezeira not to drink this milk. So the Shach, it's like a shtickle gezeira gezeira. It means even if the guy really did it, even if worst case scenario, it's only going to be trade from a derabbanan, because min haTorah is going to be batel barov. But Ava b'chein, the chavim made such a gezeira. Don't drink the milk from the guy. As a gezeira, maybe there's a little bit of milk mixed in. Where even if there is a little bit of milk mixed in, nishkefelach, it's still not going to be a problem min haTorah. So the bottom line is the Shach says that when a person comes, and a guy comes and brings you a cup of milk, min haTorah is no problem. Moshe Rabbeinu would have no problem. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't keep Chol Yisrael, says the Shach. Moshe Rabbeinu would say, you're allowed to drink the milk because there's nothing that could be wrong. If it looks white, if it looks like it's majority kosher milk, nothing could possibly be wrong with the Raisa. Then comes the Shach and says, there's another reason why nothing could possibly be wrong in haTorah. If a guy brings you milk, and he puts down a cup of milk on the table for you, and he walks away, and you don't know whether it is kosher or not kosher, you don't know what's going on, says the Shach, even forgetting the din of Bitl Barov, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't be a problem. You know why? Because you have a right to follow Rov. Remember we spoke about yesterday, the three kinds of Rov? There's Bitl Barov, and then there's Rubid Isakamon, Rubid Elay Sikamon. Says the Shach, there's a Rubid Isakamon on every cup of milk, that cup of milk is kosher. What's the Rubid Isakamon? What's the Rubid Isakamon? In most cases. Unless the guy has a camel farm. Most of the animals, you look at a guy's farm and you see, Farmer Joe just brought me a cup of milk. So I see he's got 10 cows, which are producing a tremendous amount of milk. He's got one little camel, okay, one big camel, what was his name, Sally? Sally is producing a small amount of milk. So that's a rubidisa, come on. So that's 10th amount of finding a piece of meat on Cedar Lane, 9 of the stores are kosher, 1 of the stores is straight. The odds are that it came from the kosher store. That's also an application of rov. That's not bitl barov. Remember, as we spoke about yesterday, that's not bitl barov. That's holchen basar rov, or zlidim basar ruba. That's a rub, the isa kaman. So comes the Shach and says, there are two reasons, two halachas of rov that permit you min haTorah to drink this milk. Comes the Chazon Ish and says there's a third reason why Min HaTorah you're permitted to drink the milk. Comes the Chazon Ish and says, you have a cup of milk in front of you. So what's the chashash? The chashash is that maybe the guy was milking Bessie and he ran short at the end. And at the very end, he threw in a couple of drops from Sally. That's the chashash. Says the Chazon Ish, how likely is that? Statistically, go and study the patterns of dairy farmers and figure out how often does that happen. So says the Chazon Ish, it's very unlikely that's going to happen. There's an 87%, remember that number we had? 87% chance that that's not going to happen. What kind of a rove is that? That's not a rove to Issa Kamon. That's not like we actually sat down. You can't count up. That's a statistic in the sense of, that's like most animals are not treif. It would appear to us that most farmers are not running short in the middle of their milking and running, grabbing camels. It just looks to us that's probably not what's happening. We don't see this massive run in the middle of every milking to go find camels to be mashed in the shear of the cows. So it looks to us, it appears to us, statistics indicate there's a statistical rove, not a rove to Issa Kamon. We never count it up. But in terms of the realistic possibilities, it's very unlikely that actually happened. So the Chazon Ish said that in and of itself would be enough to solve the problem in HaTorah. A guy brings you a cup of milk, even if Bitl Barov wouldn't exist, and even if Ruba Disa Kamon wouldn't exist, you have a Ruba Delaisa Kamon that permits you to drink this milk. So we have three good reasons why you're allowed to drink this milk min HaTorah. So the Mishnah is a tremendous Chiddush. The Mishnah that requires Yisrael Ayu is an unbelievable Chiddush, Chiddush. It's three times a Chiddush. Because there are three good reasons, min HaTorah, that it would be mutter, each one invoking a different application of rov. So we are yotzei yesterday shir. Okay, so we are yotzei the connection between yesterday shir and today shir. Good. So we have three practical applications of rov that min HaTorah should have been mounted the milk, but after b'chein the chamu machmir, you cannot drink the milk until you have Yisroel Re'ehu. There is a major, major machlekes haposkim as to what the nature of this Mishnah was all about, what the nature of this takana was all about. There are different types of takanas that are given, different types of gezeiras that were instituted by Chazal. There's a concept that's called the Dovah Shebeminyan. So a Dovah Shebeminyan means that sometimes, I mean, Dovah Shebeminyan literally means that it was made with a number. It means you had a bezin that gave, had a Moshe bezin and made it nisar. But the term Dovah Shebeminyan is usually used in the following context. That sometimes the Chachamim made a gezeira, and the gezeira takes on a life in and of itself. That there was something that prompted the gezeira. There was a reason, maybe a very, very slim reason that prompted the gezeira. But the gezeira, once it's instituted, takes on a life in and of itself. And we usually use terms like lo plug, and that's like a similar to the concept of davar shebeminyan. It means the gezeira exists by itself. Whether the reason in your particular case exists or not, it doesn't matter. That was the gezeira. The name of the gezeira was, you require Yisroel Re'ehu. Yichalav shechova akam ve'ein Yisroel Re'ehu is tereif. It's also finish any discussion. Don't tell me mindsets and stories and that the reason doesn't apply to you, does apply to you. That's the day to do. Like the Marshal we spoke about earlier this year, Tkir Shofar and Shabbos. So that was a Dovah Shebeminyan. The Chachamim said, you're not allowed to blow Shofar or Shadachas B'Shabbos. Finish. Gezeira Shemer, you have to read a Dot Arms B'Shusser Rabbim. I, Rabbi, there's an Erev in town. I, there's an Erev in the next town. You have to go 100 miles to get out of the Erev. It's impossible. It doesn't matter. Dovah Shebeminyan, finished. That was a gezeira and finished. The gezeira takes on a life in and of itself, even though it doesn't necessarily apply to you. I, Rabbi, I'm going to blow the shofar in the house, and I'll lock all the doors in my house, and it'll be impossible. I'll never be able to leave, and I'm the best baltakeh in the world, and I'm not going to need anyone to help me. I'll give you a million reasons why the gezeira doesn't apply. It doesn't matter. Kach tik b'chacham zalot plug, a Dovah Shebeminyan. So the question is, was this gezeira of you're not allowed to drink cholav acham, was this instituted under these circumstances or not? So there is a machlokes in the discussion, the Gemara, the Rishonim, about what would halacha be in the following case. Let's say a farmer comes and he brings you a cup of milk. And I know this farmer. And I know he doesn't own any camels. I know he doesn't own any chazas. He doesn't own anything. This guy has 20 cows. I know every single cow of his. I know him on first name basis. I'm telling you, the guy doesn't have a camel. He doesn't have a chazas. So should that be problematic or not? So the Wataka Samishonim said that maybe that's okay. Maybe that would be all right. But we don't pass like that. We pass that that's still a problem. Comes the Pri Chodosh with an unbelievable Chiddush. Who's the Pri Chodosh? Who knows? He's in the Rav Chizkiya di Silva. Right? Is that him? The 1700s in Egypt?
Pretty sure it's
di Silva. Di Silva. Right? I think 1700s in Egypt.
Joseph Ben Meir Tobi.
Chizkiya di Silva, that's what it is. I don't care what it says now. Yeah, he was? What do you got? What years we got him on?
1659. He was born in Livorno, Italy.
There you go. Okay.
Passed away in 1698.
Oh, come on. I said 1700s. Come on. Okay. So anyway, whoever he was. So he was a rabbi in Egypt, right? I think he was in Egypt. Okay. So comes the Pri Chodosh, and he says, yeah, very nice, that's wonderful. The farmer Joe doesn't have any chazer in his flock over there, but his friend Farmer Brown down the road does. So you know, you never know. Farmer Joe, Farmer Brown may be in cahoots with one another. So if Farmer Joe brings me a cup of milk and he tells me that it's from a cow, I never really know. It's really a chashash, and it may come from the friend down the road. But Zok the Pri Chodosh, what if it's not shayach that it should come from anybody else? Why is it not shayach? There's no chazer in the whole city. There's no camel in the whole city. The next city is 50 miles down the road. So you're going to tell me, I went to the guy to buy a 29-cent cup of milk. So you're going to tell me, a chashash, that he went to the next town to go fill up the cup of milk. That's shayach. Says the Pri Chodosh, when it reaches the point of absurdity, so then there's nothing to discuss. Then it's hakamuter. That was the psach of the Pri Chodosh. That chol of Akum was not a classic davish b'minyan in the sense that Kisha, if it was. It was a gezeirah that was instituted whenever there's a realistic fear. It doesn't have to be very realistic. It can be very, very far-fetched, but it has to be some degree of reality to it. If it's impossible that this should be anything worth it to be chayshish for, it's up to Pri Chodosh, the whole gezeirah was never instituted. That's right. That's what it means. It means you have to analyze case by case and see. Does it make sense to make the gzeirah here? Does it not make sense to make the gzeirah here? So comes the Chasam Sofer and strongly, strongly, vehemently disagrees with the Pri Chodosh. Comes the Chasam Sofer and says it's not true. The Holy Yisrael is not true. Says the Hoyed Vayim Yalom. Says the Chasam Sofer it was a davar shebe minyan. It was a light plug. Nothing to discuss. And it doesn't matter where the next, there's no camel in the whole world, it's still going to be remained. Aser, Achiyeh Yisrael Re'ehu. Comes the Chasam Sofer with a real flip, turns the tables on the Pri Chodosh. Comes the Chasam Sofer and says as follows. He says, Horaya, says the Chasam Sofer, besides all his rayas from the Gemaras and the Rishonim, he says, look at our communities, he says, look around, the Rav in Pressburg in Hungary, look around in Ashkenazi Jews, he says, lo shamanu davazeme oilam, that Ashkenazi Jews should be makel to drink Cholav Akum. He says, it was unheard of, it was inconceivable that we're going to be drinking Cholav Akum. And we never heard, says the Chasam Sofer, that anybody should stop making cheshbonos, that there are no pigs around, there are no camels. There probably weren't that many camels walking around Hungary. I imagine there were probably a few more in Egypt than there were in Hungary. So comes the Chasam Sofer and says, there are no pigs in town in Pressburg, and there are no camels in Pressburg, and there's no tray for animals, nothing. The only cows around, only goats around, only sheep around in Pressburg. And lo shemana davazemeh avi saying that anybody would ever be mati, Cholav Akum. So he says, it's clear that our minig is not like the Pri Chodosh. But now he comes with unbelievable chav. Comes the Chasam Sofer and says, Yesh Ladun. He says, what's Pshat in Abinu? Why is the Pri Chodosh not right? So says the Chasam Sofer, he cannot be right for one of two reasons. He says, either he's not right because the minig Ashkenaz has been, because we disagree with him api halacha. We hold that in contrast to what the Pri Chodosh says, that it was not a Davar Shebe Minyan, we hold, like those who showed him, probably that it was a Davar Shebe Minyan. That's the Pshat. That's really a machloikis. It's a machloikis in Pshat of what the Gzeira was. Well, says the Chasam Sofer, no. It could be that the Pri Chodosh is right. In terms of Lomdus, he's right. We don't have any indication from the Gemara that this was Davar Shebe Minyan. It could be the Emes is he's right. In theory, he's right. But the Minog Ashkenazi communities developed as a Chumrah. As a minig l'chumrah, not to rely on this cooler. Not because we held he was fundamentally wrong, but we did it b'teras chumrah, not to rely, not to make any kunsim and coolers and nights. We don't want to take any chances, but the ikaron is really right. So the Chasam Sofer is sitting in Pressburg in the 1800s, pondering, trying to figure out what's going on. He said, I never saw my father drink non-chalav yisrael. I never saw my rebbeim drink non-chalav yisrael. No religious Jew in Hungary and Germany and wherever the Chasam Sofer came from, all those parts of the world. Lo shabbat in the 1800s, anyone was drinking unsupervised milk, non-chalav yisrael. So what's pshat? Is pshat that we fundamentally hold the Pri Chodosh is wrong? Or we hold these really righteous b'teras chumrah b'yamah? So if I were to ask you, you would probably say, we wanted to say the second one, right? Because we don't want to really disagree with the Pri Chodosh. We want to really hold it to Pri Chodosh. It's just it's a minig, a chumrah. So comes the Chasam Sofer, Mamash turns it on us. It says like this. So he says, if pshat at this minig Ashkenazim is that we fundamentally disagree with the Pri Chodosh api halacha, so we would paskin that if a guy goes ahead and he drinks Cholav Akum, he's a violation of the Takanos Chachamim. We would say you're a bad guy. You're violating the Rabbanans. We're not going to give him Haftiyana. We'd say you're in violation of an Issur Derabanan. You're like eating Bishul Akum. But, says Chasam Sofer, if we really hold that the Pri Chodosh is right, that the Ikaron is right. Yet the reason why we've not accepted his view, Lamaisa, was Bitaris Chumra, was Bitaris Minog. Everyone knows what Lech Stalin Chassam Sofer is? If a person goes ahead and violates this Minog, he's in violation of what? Of Anissa Diraisa. What? It's close to that. He says it's in violation of Lo Yachal Devaroi. He says it's a neder, because the Gemara says in Masechus Nedarim, the Masechus Perek, that Minhagim have a certain degree like the neder to them. That if a person takes a neder as an individual, so he says he's going to do such and such, or he's not going to do such and such, that's binding Minhagim, Lo Yachal Devaroi. And then the Gemara speaks about Nidre HaRabim, Nidre HaTzibur, Nidre Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael accepts upon themselves something, it was a Rishus, it was Mutter. If we really posket that this milk was Mutter, and Afa Pichem, you haven't been doing it, so now if a guy goes ahead and does it, he's in violation of Nisha Diraisav Layachal Devarot. So says the Chassam Sovereign, you pick and choose. Which side of the Chakir would you like? Would you like to be over Nisha Diraisav, like be over Nisha Dirabanan? Mutter is not going to be, unless you live in Egypt, you're hanging out with a Fichadish, you can drink your Chol of Akum. But if you live in Hungary, you live in Germany, you live in Eastern Europe, so there's no shaila, nobody's drinking this kind of milk, no shaila about it. We're just not sure, says Chassam Sofer, is it Bitaris Chumra or not. And if it's Bitaris Chumra, comes out worse, comes out more Chumra, because then it's Bitaris Neder, which would be Nisa Deraisa. So you could argue with that last Nakuda Chassam Sofer. Not everyone agrees that every minute at Tzibur, all of a sudden becomes Deraisa. That's a different, that's already beyond the scope right now. That's the thrust of Chassam Sofer. So it's for this reason, you're not going to find too many Talmidim of Chassam Sofer very mate on Chalavachim. In the Hungarian community, it's going to be the last place you're going to find coolers in Chalavachim. Yeah.
Seems a little weird because the fact that he's having this machlokes with himself means that it's not, it doesn't seem to be the most.
No, he's not having machlokes. He's analyzing. The Chassam Sofer is telling. He's telling you straight. He's saying like this. He says, "I know what the Bichodesh says. Right? I see what he says in print, and I'm telling you, for the last I'm 80 years old, I never ever saw any Shemitah Torah mitzvahs reading Chol Avachum."
That means they never heard the
No, there are a lot of people who heard the kul of the Pichadash. They said, but no one follows it. So the question is, did all the Rabbanim and all the Ashkenazi communities disagree with the Pikaron, or did they hold he was really right? But they made a siyam, they made a gather under themselves not to follow it. That's what the Chassam Sofer is talking to himself about. That's what he's sitting back and trying to philosophize about. Okay? Good. So far, so good. So this is pretty much where the story ended in the 1800s. It ended up the Prichodesh was Mekel. They were Taka in some Sephardi communities. Taka they were Mekel, and the Ashkenaz communities, by and large, nobody was Mekel on this. Yeah. Yes, a Taras Nedarim. It's gonna be very busy in Erev Rosh Hashanah. Can everyone shul together? I don't know. I'm not sure how you go about doing that. I don't know. Oh, so now the story. Now we move the clock ahead a little bit. We move it forward about 100 years. So the Shadow became reevaluated. Jews left Eastern Europe, started to come to America, and now the Shadow became, let's reanalyze the Shadow. What's the reanalysis of the Shadow? So maybe you could say, maybe we'd like to be Chadash, sure, but we don't want to necessarily go that route. So came along a group of Gedolim, and it's known as Ramesh's Kula. Ramesh was not the only one who said it by far. The Chazanish already said it. The Chazanish already addressed it as a possibility. Ramesh was the one who put it into print, in a 20-page tshuva, and he's the one who became the Fursam, of course, in America, as the proponent of this kula. But the basic gist that a kula runs as follows. Comes Ramesh and says that, let's assume like the Chassam Sofer, worst case scenario, it's a mamash adav shebeminyan, and the halacha stays the way it was presented in the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say exactly? What's the lashon of the Mishnah? Cholav shechav akum ha'ein Yisrael ra'eyu. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. You have to have Re'ias HaYisrael. Comes Rav Moshe, let's analyze that phrase Re'ias HaYisrael properly. So what did Re'ias HaYisrael always mean? Re'ias HaYisrael always meant it was a Jew standing there with a long white beard, standing inside the barn. Post gave a whole discussion about if he's in the barn, is he out of the barn, is he Yetziv and Nichna. Those are nuances and details of just how much does he have to stand there, bamish by the udder and watch the milk come out. Or is he standing in the back and he sees there's no camel around. The guy walks in with an empty bowl. He walks up to a cow. And the Jew's sitting there saying to him, and then the guy comes back. There's no camel, no pigs anywhere around. So it's obviously came from there. So maybe that's also called Yisrael Re'ehu. So comes Rav Moshe and says, let's define that phrase Yisrael Re'ehu properly. Says Rav Moshe, there's a concept in halacha called Eidus Yediyah Toloi Re'iyah. Sometimes halacha accepts that what a person knows to be true, he knows for a fact to be true, even though he didn't see it with his eyes, that's also considered to be like an Eidus. You could even be, that's called the Eidus in Halacha. Eidus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah. Where do we find such a concept? So who remembers we spoke about this? What? And on Saturday, Tevila. Where do we talk about this Tevila story? Last year, Gittin. What's the year last year, Gittin? Tevila's Geirus. Where do we talk about this? This year, we talked about it. Oh, right. Where do we talk about it last year? Oh, the women are shared to be Dayanim. Yeah. Ben a Simcha, right? That's what we spoke about. The Vav last year, Gittin. We mentioned this year also. I don't remember anymore. We didn't talk about the sugi, but okay. So, the background for a Moshe is a sugi Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara says Yevamos that Gera Tzarech Shloisha, that for a person to convert, to a person requires three dayanim. A person is Megai Ben Olav Ben Atzma, that's not considered to be a Geras even in HaTorah. The Gemara derives from Sukkim, Mishpik Sivbei. So, the whole question, we spoke about this other times, I don't remember if it was this year, about is that really true? Mishpat Ksivbeh, you need three dayanim, maybe one dayan is good enough, because Minat Torah is up, because one dayan is good enough. That's a whole question in of itself. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says, Geretz HaShlosha, Mishpat Ksivbeh. So there is a sugya that appears in Maseches Yevamos in the fourth paragraph, where the Gemara talks about a certain woman who converted, and there was a small technical problem, that she didn't go to the mikvah in the process of conversion. Something was done wrong. Whoever was converting, it wasn't exactly, it didn't do everything right. And now there was some kind of a serious question about the original tefillah that she did. So comes the Gemara and says, no problem, this is 20 years later already. So comes the Gemara and says, she's a frum woman, she's shomer Torah mitzvah, she's married, she goes to the mikvah once a month, for tefillah's nida. So the Gemara says, good, zolzayn, milo tavla l'nidusa. Let the fact that she went to the mikvah for tefillah's nida, that'll serve, that'll cover, that's good enough. You don't have to worry about it. That can count as a tefillah l'shem geirus. I can't give you a Gemara. So there are a lot of issues with that Gemara. It's a tremendous chiddush, that Gemara. Because forget about the issue of Bezin for a second. What the Gemara just told us is that you don't need a Tevilu L'Shem Geirus. Because at the time when she was going for Taras HaMishpacha, she thought she was Jewish already. So she thought she converted 20 years before. The problem is the rabbi who converted forgot to have a Tevilu in the mikvah. So at the time when she's going to the mikvah as a Shomeris Torah Mitzvahs now, she's not Jewish. So she's not looking for Taras Geirus, she's looking for Taras Mitzvahs. So how does that work? So that's a tremendous chiddush. So that's, when you learn Chas Geirus, that's a topic in and of itself. But we're not focusing on that question. We're focusing on the other question, where's the Beis Din? What happened to the Beis Din? Where's the Beis Din? Where are the three dayanim? We're sitting and watching. Woman's going to the mikvah for Taras HaMishpacha. Nobody's watching. The mikvah lady's watching, but she's not a Beis Din. So we quoted last year Rabbeinu Simcha, remember, from the Mordechai, who says maybe a woman's shared to be a dayan, a whole shekel Torah with Devorah. We're not going to go that route right now. So comes Tosfos in Yevamos and asks this kasha and says, how could it be? Are you talking? Where's the Beis Din? So Tosfos presents two possibilities. So Tosfos says that Tosfos says maybe you only need Beis Din for Kabbalah Samitzvahs of Geirus. But there are different components of Geirus. There's the Milah, there's the Tefillahs, Kabbalah Samitzvahs. So Tosfos suggests Kabbalah Samitzvahs makes a lot of sense to require Beis Din. Why? Because Kabbalah Samitzvahs, you have to analyze, is the person sincere, is the person not sincere, is he really Kabbalah Mitzvahs, not Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So it makes sense to have Beis Din there. What do you need a Beis Din for Tefillah for? Either the person went under the water, didn't go under the water. So you find out, you take a picture, the person went under the water, didn't go under, you find an eidot. What do you need a Beis Din for? So Tosfos suggests one possibility that you don't need a Beis Din for Tevilas Ger. You only need a Beis Din for Kabbalah Mitzvahs. For Eid Yishlam, this is the part that's relevant for us, says Tosfos. No, you need a Beis Din for the Tevilah also. But you have a Beis Din here. Where's the Beis Din? Who's the Beis Din? Where's the Beis Din? We are the Beis Din. Who are we? We, the whole world, we know this woman is married. This woman is from. We know she comes to Shul of Shabbos. We know she dressed appropriately. We know she's a Shomer Torah's mitzvahs. So you don't have to be a big chacham to realize if she's a married Jewish from woman, she goes to the mikvah once a month. So we know that she goes to the mikvah once a month. Was there anybody watching her in the water? Nobody watched. The mikvah lady is possible to be a dayan. There's only she can't serve as the dayan. We, the rabbanim in town, we, the balabatim in town, we, the klal Yisrael, we are aware that this woman is going to the mikvah. So says that's good enough. Even though there's a din minat Torah that you require re'ias beis din, you have to have a beis din present at the time of the tefillah. Not like the first day in Tais that says that you don't need beis din for tefillah. No, you do need beis din for tefillah. But this is good enough. This is an Eidus Yediyah, believer. Even though you didn't see it, what you know to be true constitutes an Eidus, constitutes a Dayanus in Halacha. Where did Tosfos get this idea from? Do we have any precedent for this in the Gemara itself? So the Gemara has in Maseches Gittin the following discussion. The Mishnah in the Gemara discusses, we know the Halacha says that you have to have Eidos for Kiddushin, right? Mekadosh and Isha, Shalom for Eidim, so that's meaningless. Kasef Shtar, we spoke about this Berichas last year. What about Kiddushin Bia? So Kiddushin Bia also requires Eidos. So where's the Eidos and Kiddushin Bia? But the Eidim are standing in the room watching, so obviously not. The Eidim are standing outside. So the Mishnah discusses the possibility. What if you have a scenario that we know that a Maaseh Bia took place? We know for a fact that a Maaseh Bia took place. And we know for a fact that this Maaseh Bia took place, L'shem Kiddushin. Nobody said it, nobody saw it, there's no Eidim, nobody had, but we, Klal Yisrael, we, people in town, know that there was a Maaseh Bia taking place, L'shem Kiddushin. What does the Mishnah say? What is the Gemara saying? What? Chazak, Eidim, the Maaseh Bia, L'shem Kiddushin. The Gemara says, at least under certain circumstances, if you have two people who are, we know that this Pani Abola Penuya is taking place, and we have reason to believe that we have reason to know that they had bia together. We say hey nei nei dei yichud hey nei dei bia. Nobody saw it. Nobody knows for sure. Nobody could say with absolute certainty that they had bia together. But if the context appears that that's what happened, that's called an eidus yedia below re'iya, and that would suffice even for kiddushin. So comes Tyson and says, that's called an Eidus for Kedushin, that's called an Eidus for Bezdin, that's called a Maaseh Bezdin, that's called the Adias Bezdin, equals Re'iyah. So comes Rav Moshe and says, putting this whole picture together, says Rav Moshe, so we have a Mishnah of Arizona that says, you require Yisrael Re'iyah. So it's up to Rav Moshe, good, you require Yisrael Re'iyah, not like the Pichadosh, that as long as you know for a fact that it's, I'm sorry, as long as it's not, there's no real Chashash, it's okay. No, says Rav Moshe. You need Yisrael Re'eyu. It's a davar shel minyan. I'm sorry, for it's 100% right, and yet in America, it's okay. Why is it okay? Says Rav Moshe. We have an eidus yediyah below re'iyah. What's a yediyah? What gives us the right to make such a statement that we have a yediyah? So says Rav Moshe, we have a yediyah. It's called the government. The government has inspections. Anybody knows a guy's running a $10 million dairy plant. So imagine a guy in America is going to go run short on milk, and he's going to go throw a little bit of chaza milk in. He's going to be in the front page of the New York Times. They're going to close down his plant. So the government testing comes all the time. They monitor the dairy industry in America. So comes Rav Moshe and says, anyone's going to play any games with mass producing milk in America? It's crazy. It's not shaykh, such a thing. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, in America, we have an eidus yediyah below re'iyah. And that's considered to be the Mishnah. It's not much the same as the Mishnah. You have Yisrael Re'eyu. This is called Yisrael Re'eyu. We know that the milk is coming from a cow. So this Kula Rav Moshe was not everybody accepted, to say the least. So there were some who disagreed in the halachas of Rav Moshe. Some disagreed with the facts of Rav Moshe. So there were some who said, oh, that if it's a davar shel minyan, so don't play any games. The davar shel minyan was, you require re'iyah. Re'iyah means re'iyah. Means that's according to Chassam Sofer. This Rav Moshe is a pre-chadosh tikasvara, but according to Chassam Sofer, no, you need your sorah re'iyah mamish. Others disagreed with the metzias. Rav Moshe said, what's the idea? He said, so the guy will bribe an inspector or something. So a guy's going to come from the dairy industry and he's going to ask me, why is there a camel in your barn? So I'll pay the guy off enough money to be quiet. So come other poskim and said that that's not the Rav Moshe's idea. It's not as ironclad as Rav Moshe said it was. So Rav Moshe addresses that in the tshuva. He says that you're going to have to bribe a lot of people. He said you're going to have to pay off a lot of people to outsmart the dairy industry. You're going to have to work really hard on it, says Rav Moshe. It's very, very unlikely. So Rav Moshe wasn't too concerned with the halachic tainas against this tshuva. He wasn't too concerned with the metzias tainas either. So at the end of the day, Rav Moshe's tshuva stands, Rav Moshe paskin, that there really is no Chol of Yisrael in America. It's not that there's no Chol of Yisrael. All milk is Chol of Yisrael. People say, I'm not makbar Chol of Yisrael. That's a meaningless statement according to Rav Moshe. Everyone's makbar Chol of Yisrael. It's a Mishnah. It's just that you've redefined Chol of Yisrael. Your regular path-marked milk is Chol of Yisrael because there's a Yisrael Re'eyu, i.e. Yisrael Yodehu. That's considered to be like Re'eyas Yisrael. So at the end of the tshuva, Rav Moshe writes that, you know, well, those want to be machmir, should be machmir, it's a good idea, you don't have to rely on this 20-page tshuva mind. Those who want to have Chol of Yisrael should keep on having Chol of Yisrael. But Rav Moshe Me'ika Mikra didn't help that it was permissible. So there are different opinions. So in the Hasidic communities, they never accepted this tshuva. In other communities, they didn't accept this tshuva. But Rav Moshe passed in this way. That's where the most of the, many of our communities, most of our communities rely on this tshuva, Rav Moshe. Yeah, the kula was made. Rav Moshe Paskin held it was mutter. Rav Moshe held there was no question that it was mutter. There are those who say, look, I don't have to rely on the kula. I could be machmir. It's much easier to be machmir. In 1950, it was much harder to be machmir. But again, according to Rav Moshe Svar, it's mutter.
Would this also mean to say that you don't need to have ashbacha on milk?
Right, because there's nothing, there's nothing really that you're going to put in. It's going to be problematic. Unless there's some other things that may go in, but I'm not sure if there's anything overly problematic in the book anyway. Okay? Good, so again, different opinions. But it's important to point out that this kula only applies in a country that is similar to America, in the sense that there's some real something, there's a real industry that's actually, real government authorities is actually watching over this. So let's say a guy goes to some third world country or something, he may want not want to drink the milk for other reasons, but if a guy's walking, I don't know, he's hiking through, you know, what? What's a good third world country? I don't know. Ecuador, I don't know. Babysitter just went to Ecuador. Okay, went to Ecuador. So a person's in Ecuador. I don't know. What's in Ecuador? Near Argentina?
I'm saying it's okay.
Where? In Argentina? In Argentina. Oh, okay. Okay, I don't know about all the countries. Okay, whatever. It's a guy, this guy's in some far-out country where, let's say, there is no such government supervision. So, Navani, you're not allowed to drink it. It's not a shayla. It's for sure also. So the question is it also midaraisa, is it also midarabanan? So we said, based on the Selshach and the Chazanish, we said before, even in the days of Chazal, it was only midarabanan, because the worst case scenario is that it's going to be some taroves, so it's going to be bapu barov minatar, or you have an azlina basru, you have a halkim acharov. So you have a lot of reasons why minatorah, for sure, it's not going to be a problem. So I had to shadow one time in my life, I had to decide whether there was a real chalavak on the issue, and if it was it a deraisa problem, or a derabanan problem? So the background to the shadow was like this. This goes back 12 years ago. Right, my daughter was 1 year old. So we're traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and we were flying back from Eretz Yisrael. We left Eretz Yisrael on a Motzei Shabbos. I told over the story in different contexts. We were flying back from Eretz Yisrael on Motzei Shabbos, and about 2 hours into the flight, so the pilot gets on and announces an important announcement to make. Nobody should get worried. Whenever somebody tells you not to worry, that's always a good sign to something to worry about. He said, we're having some engine problems, and one of the engines isn't functioning anymore. He said, but the good news is that we really only need 2 engines to fly this plane. So we have 3, so we have Rove. So 2 out of 3, okay. All we need is 2, and we have 3, so 1 engine ahead. We're good. So he said, however, common practice is that when one of the engines explodes, so we don't want to take any chances that the other, he didn't say it was that lush, but that's pretty much what he said, is that since we're not really sure why that engine exploded, so we don't want to take any chances that it's going to be contagious, so we like to land the plane immediately. So he was trying to, you know, be nice to everybody. So anyway, so he said that we're not going to try to cross over the Atlantic with a half a plane, so we're going to try to land as quickly as possible. So he said we're not far from Rome, so we're going to be making, not an emergency landing, but an emergency landing. We're going to be making a landing, an unscheduled landing in Rome. Okay, good. Sure. So it's not in Rome, like in Rome, like the Romans. So we landed in Rome at 4 o'clock in the morning or something. So needless to say, on a Sunday morning in Rome, I guess in the Eternal City, it's hard to get a guy to fix your plane for you at 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday is not exactly the height of the work week in Rome. So, we were stranded in Rome for a couple of hours. So we had a daven shachris. I told the shachris story. No, not for sure I told. I never told the shachris story? Oh, come on, I told the story. You can check with Ricky Rothberger. Is he still around in the yeshiva?
Yeah.
He was with me on that flight. He'll verify the story. So we were davening shachris in Rome. There was one beautiful part and one funny part. So the beautiful part, I'll tell you quickly, and then I'll get to the milk story. So the beautiful part, and that'll be the end of the show. So the beautiful part was that we were davening shachris, about 30, 40 of us davening shachris, Sunday morning in Rome, and like a whole group of Roman policemen came over to us, and we started to get a little bit nervous. They were going to tell us to stop davening, and then we realized, no, they came to protect us. They made a circle around us. So we had 30 yeshiva guys davening, and we had 30, you know, Roman cops with their, Uzi machine guns, you know, protecting us. So I said afterwards, look how far Klai Yisrael have come. I said, last time Romans and Jews were looking at each other, so they were destroying the Beis Hamikdash, and now they're the ones who are standing and protecting us. We could daven shachris on a trip back from Eretz Yisrael. Pretty strange world in history. Anyway, but the funny part of the story was that we came time to say Tachanun, so there were a few Hasidim on the flight. So one of the Hasidim says, there's no Tachanun today. I said, why not? It's not Ha'ir. Why is there no Tachanun today? Why isn't there? So I didn't say it. So why is there no Tachanun today? I don't think you would appreciate the joke. So why is there no Tachanun today? He said, because there's no Sefer Torah. Okay. So I said, no sefer Torah. The Rambam says if there's no sefer Torah, then you don't fall tachlim, but you still stay tachlim. No, no sefer Torah. No. So Ricky had this big knapsack on his back. So he says, wait one second. He opens up his knapsack, he takes out a sefer Torah. He was carrying a sefer Torah back for some Sephardi shul or something in America. So he had the sefer Torah in his knapsack. So the guy was floored. So he said, tachlim, tachlim in Rome. Anyway, so... So the milk part was as follows. Here was the milk complication. So the milk part was that we had my daughter with us. We didn't have any food. Everything, we ran out of whatever we had. And we were sitting in Rome for another 10 hours. So my wife wanted to buy her a container of milk. So I said, wait a second. It's not so posh. I said, a container of milk in Rome? I said, I don't know. Is Italy, what's the government standards in Italy in milk? Probably good. No. I don't know, Chalais, I don't know. So I wasn't sure. I said, can I give my daughter a container of milk? Chalavakal, maybe. It's real Issa. So I started thinking myself with the shach a little bit. So I said, so worst case scenario, it's only nisa derabanan for a variety of reasons. Even bizman chazal, even aniach that there's no government supervision at all, it's only nisa derabanan. So there's machlekes derabanan in the Rashba. If you want to give a katan a nisa derabanan, is that okay or not? Normally, to feed a katan nisa derais is also. So if I want to give chazat to my daughter, even a baby, that's also min haTorah. We learned that from Sukkim, that lahazik dol maktanim. And the Rambam says that Isser applies bein tisum deraisa bein tisum derabanan. That you're not allowed to feed even, let's say, bishlachim to a katan. That would also be a problem. But the Rashba says that b'med d'bamurim, the whole machlokes harishonim, how to read sugyas in the Gemara. The Rashba says b'med d'bamurim that it's asur. That's only if you're doing it for your purpose. Let's say you're doing it with toelos of yourself. You want to, let's say, you want to hand. Let's say I ask the katan move this muktzah for me on Shabbos. So that's also l'chol adayas. But what if I ask the katan to do this thing for me, to do this for themselves? I want to do something with Tzorech HaKotan, so the Rashba claims, so if it's only the Rabbanon, if it's Tzorech HaKotan, then Mikra Din, it's Mutter. So, Machlag is the Rambam and the Rashba. How do we pass in that Shah? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Shabbos passing like the Rambam. That you're not allowed to ask a Kotan to do anything on Shabbos, either for your Tzorech or for their Tzorech, whether the Raisa or whether the Rabbanon. But the Be'er Halacha quotes a Rabbi Kiveger, who says, the Shas HaKak, you're allowed to rely on the Rashba. And he gives the final example. Let's say a guy wants to ask a child to carry something for them on Shabbos, and it's only a karmelus anyway, it's only a derabanan anyway. So Rabbi Kivega says that you're allowed to ask the child to carry it for themselves if it's a shas adchak. Let's say there's a city, you and your 10-year-old child. So I'm allowed to ask my 10-year-old, let's say before chid, whatever it is, a 5-year-old child, I'm going to ask my 5-year-old child to carry a sitter for me that you're not allowed to do. But to ask the child to carry the sitter because they need the sitter, it's a tzorech hakatan, so that would be okay. And then, as the katan's davening, I could peek over also and join him. That's what Kivega writes. B'shas avchach, you need a sitter, so you're allowed to rely on it's only a dirabanan, it's a tzorech hakatan. So, and B'halach quotes us the halach at the end of Hilchos Shabbos. So I thought this is the same shayla, that according to the Rashba, it's only dirabanan anyway, because it's Bakr Barov and Azlina Basaruv and 15 million reasons from Hilchos Chol Avachim. So it's only dirabanan. So it's only the Rabbanon, so then it's telling you this Bachelik is the Ram and the Rashi. It's the Tzorech HaKot. It's the Tzorech HaMikot, my daughter's screaming, but it's the Tzorech HaKot, and they're hungry. So then the Chara, I'm allowed to give them the tray for milk. So that was one Cheshbon. Then I thought that there's a Shaar Tzion tucked away in all places in Uchah Sukkah, where the Shaar Tzion writes that what's called Lahachal Biyadayim. So Lahachal Biyadayim means either to literally feed it to the child, or to hand it to the child, or to encourage the child to drink, right? If I say, come, have this milk, I'll buy you a prize if you have the milk, that's called l'hachal b'yadayim. But says the Shaar Tzion, let's say I have this tray pile of milk, and I put it down in front of the child. I walk away. I don't hand it to them, I don't feed it to them, I don't encourage them, I walk away. So the Mishtabura sounds like, but that's not called l'hachal b'yadayim b'chlal. That would be most even according to Ram. Even by deraisas, I could technically do that. So I thought we could do that. I said, we'll buy a container of this tray from milk, whatever it is, fill it up into a baby bottle, put it down on the floor, right? My daughter's sitting there. Let her take the milk. She wants to take the milk. She'll take the milk. So that's not even called machal b'yadayim. So we had a few tzedadim hakol. I think they found some milk for us from the halal plant or something. I don't know, whatever it was. I think in the end we found some juice or something. But I had a good svara. Why? Two good svaras. Why I thought it would be okay. Anyway, that was this chadish to me in the Rome airport. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well. We all get home and safely on another flight. Okay, good. Okay, go to the world.
I was getting with one flush.
Well, who?